Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. And it is Tuesday, April the 22nd, 2025. And we are on to program number 1360 of the Lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, we are on 101.1 FM on radio. And you can also get us at our website, rcisaintlucia.com, and we're streaming live on our Facebook platform. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also reach us at our WhatsApp number, and that is 724-0008. Again, 724-0008. It's Earth Day today, the 22nd of April. So we want to, of course, note that and the importance of our environment and sustainability. So happy Earth Day to all. It's the only rock, it's the only planet that we will ever live on for the vast majority of us, right? And of course, we want to send out some birthday greetings today. To Mr. Robert Huggins, better known as Rocky. And we hope that you're having a fantastic birthday celebration. Hope it is a really, really good one for you. And we also want to send out birthday greetings to Mr. Owen Georges and all the best for your very special day. Look back in time, and we go back to the year 1500 when Pedro Alvarez Cabral was the first European to discover or to land in Brazil, or what is today known as Brazil, landing near Monte Pascoal and claiming it for Portugal. In the year 1915, the first military use of poison gas occurred when Germany used chlorine gas against the Allies at Ypres during World War I. 1993, on this day, the Holocaust Memorial Museum was dedicated in Washington, D.C. 1994, on this day, 7,000 Tutsis are slaughtered by Hutus in a stadium in Kibuye, Rwanda. 2006, on this day, Nepalese security forces opened fire on pro-democracy protesters demonstrating against King Gyanendra, injuring hundreds, and the protesters secured the restoration of parliament and a federal state. And 2016, on this day, the Paris Agreement on climate change was signed in New York City, binding 195 nations to limit the increase in the global average temperature to no less than 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels, and to pursue efforts to limit the increase to 1.5 degrees. We now head across to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Want tiles for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need tiles for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big tiles with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tiles. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got glassware and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, Jules, Grozzy Lakes, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939.
This has been The Daily Dish. Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program for today. And it, of course, we want to extend our best wishes for Easter, for the Easter season, as Christians and people all around the world marked the day on a Sunday. And of course, it is the effectively the highest moment within the Christian faith for millions and millions of people all around the world, both in the Western or Latin Catholic Roman Catholic rites, as well as in the Eastern rites, where it is known as Pascha. Of course, if in the French, you know, you'd say Bon Pâques, and it's within that similar linguistic origin. And of course, it was no doubt a very poignant moment for Pope Francis as he gave his final blessing to Easter blessing to the crowds which gathered at the St. Peter's Basilica at this outside in the piazza. And unfortunately, of course, we noted his passing the following day, which was reported by the Camerlengo, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, who is effectively the individual now in charge in some sense in terms of the arrangements for the funeral of the Supreme Pontiff of the Catholic Church. And of course, Pope Francis was the first pope born outside of, the first pope born in the Western world. There have been popes from Africa as well to some degree, but of course, that we're speaking of the regions, the Christian regions of, on the Mediterranean coast of, and in North Africa, where some of the popes, in fact, did come out of. And but this is certainly the first pope who came out of Latin America and of course, or the Americas. Albeit, however, he was of Italian origin and seen generally to be, originally considered being a conservative, but he certainly seemed to have become a lot more open and gave quite a lot of surprises to many within the Christian faith in his openness and his willingness to engage, his willingness to show empathy, his humility. Is certainly, those are some of the characteristics which we are hearing of him in terms of his accolades being extended and condolences being extended on to him, to the people who love him and have held him in high regard. And of course, he was a Jesuit. That was his order. And they tend to be an order that is quite keen on intellectual discourse, on reason, on finding consensus, on having dialogue. And that certainly came out in respect of Pope Francis and how he moved forward. And many, of course, noted his real desire to be out of the limelight, especially in the sense of a pope being effectively a head of state. And quite often, part of his role is within that context as being a head of state. And, you know, you would find on a regular basis, he would have to be meeting with diplomats and heads of state and royalty and who's who, so to speak. And for those who knew him, they quite often said that this isn't really not what he enjoyed very much, because that wasn't really what he believed his focus was supposed to have been. And he certainly wanted to place a much greater emphasis on the acts of mercy and showing care for those downtrodden, for those who did not have, for those who did not enjoy abundance. And so that, of course, also put him into conflict with leaders around the world. Of course, one of the last leaders he actually met was that of the Vice President of the United States of America, J.D. Vance. And in fact, one notes that Francis was an individual who very much wanted to ensure that the rights of migrants were protected. And, of course, that is a major issue right now in the United States of America and globally as well, right, in Europe. And, of course, in the countries from which individuals are migrating, including many, many countries within Latin America, Central and South America. And he was very much aware of that and the struggles, you know, of growing up in Argentina and seeing the ebbs, the rises and the falls within that country. And was very concerned about the well-being of people and the well-being of his flock everywhere around the world. And even with respect to what was going on now in Gaza, quite often we think of the Levant, we think of Palestine as a place where the majority of the population is Muslim. But of course, there are very deep Christian roots within Palestine. And of course, that whole long history we need not necessarily get into. But there, even after the Muslim conquest of the 600s and the various waves, of whether it would have been rulers coming out of Arabia, coming out of Persia, out of out of Turkey, the Ottomans, it was largely yes Muslim, but there still are a number of Eastern churches. Within the East and within Asia and within Palestine, within the Middle East, and of course, even with respect to the Eastern churches, there also are Latin churches present as well. And so, there was in fact this one church in Gaza, and the parish priest there, especially when there were all these bombings going on and the invasion of by Israel, and in the face of all the destruction that was being faced by the Palestinian population of whatever faith they belong to, he would in fact make a point of, on a daily basis, calling this parish priest to find out about the welfare of the parishioners within his parish in Gaza. And that kind of concern, that kind of empathy is really, really important to appreciate. And it really speaks to the nature of the man who chose not to live in the papal palace. He chose not to be in any form of grandeur at all. He chose effectively to live in a almost like a guest house in the Vatican, away from the what was normally afforded to popes as the Bishop of Rome, and it again really spoke to his humility and his desire really to not have the strappings and to be as much as close as possible to you know, the life of Christ and the following that the teachings that he put forward. So, of course, he certainly will be missed by many who saw him as a reformer and willing to engage in dialogue and in a synodal process, which he in fact started. And of course, his openness in demanding more accountability within the faith and the clerical groupings within the church. And so certainly that aspect of him was admired by people across all religions. So we certainly want to extend condolences to the Catholic community here in St. Lucia and of course the Archdiocese of Castries and the and of course the Caribbean as well, the arch the Antilles Episcopal Conference. His funeral is due to happen Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. That would be Rome time or European European times, European Central Time. And of course, we will no doubt have to wait to gain further details as to that entire matter. Another one of his interesting requests was that he is not going to be buried in the crypts where most of the near over 260 popes have been tended to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica, but instead he has chosen to be buried in the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. Rome has, is it four main basilicas? St. Peter's, of course, is within the Vatican, and it's the largest church, the largest temple, but not even really the seat of the Bishop of Rome, that being that of St. John Lateran, and the other two major basilicas, that of St. Mary Major and St. Paul Outside the Walls. And he's chosen to go to be entombed in the place where he would go on afternoons to have contemplative prayer. And so we definitely wish, of course, the very best. And of course, it also means that a process for selecting a new pope is going to be on the minds of many around the world, but certainly the cardinals, the College of Cardinals, who in fact have to make that decision or look for inspiration to be able to do that. And they will, of course, have to gather pretty soon about 252 cardinals in the world right now, and there are about 135 who are eligible to vote. And of course, if you're over 80, you're ineligible to vote. And so, because of course that body, that conclave, has to be somebody has to come. Well, generally speaking, they could in fact elect anybody, but they generally it would be electing a cardinal coming out of that group. And so of course soon enough they will be gathering in the Vatican, gathering in the Sistine Chapel, and of course they will be locking the doors after a ceremony, after prayers, and at some point some smoke will come up, depending on the color of that smoke, indicating whether a pope has been chosen or has not been chosen, depending on the vote. And so, of course, we've been looking to see what comes of that in the days ahead. It's usually about 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope that process will normally commence. Now, coming back to St. Lucia, over the weekend, some very good news. We're actually coming out of Trinidad, and that is that another St. Lucia, and in fact, is putting it in the words of the commentator, St. Lucia now has another sprint champion, a sprint queen, and maybe some might say a princess, because she's actually under 18. And she has, of course, made St. Lucia exceedingly proud at her participation at the Kirifta Games 2025, which were happening in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, the Hazley Crawford Stadium. And of course, she coming out in the first instance, we were very, very excited that she was able to win gold in the under 17 100 meters final. And of course, that, an amazing success in and of them, of that itself, for her to have been able to achieve that. And this this young lady, J.D. Emmanuel, and she comes from a very small community in the south of St. Lucia, and it's called Mon Paul. And it is, perhaps a lot of St. Lucians have never even been to Mon Paul. And it's in an elevated area of the quarter of Labrie, as you can well appreciate the name Mon. Some may know about Mont-Leblanc, and it's a little further in along that road that takes you up into the community of Bas-la-Grasse. And so certainly an amazing achievement by J.D., and she, in fact, repeated it, and she was able to also bring home, or is going to be bringing home, two medals, because she, in fact, also won the women's under-17 200 meters finals as well. So quite an astounding achievement, and really speaks to perhaps the high, that the inspiration that so many St. Lucians are feeling right now. And of course, the athletes are feeling right now in their remarkable success stories that we've been noting. We've, of course, noted Naomi London, also over in Texas, and some really amazing performances coming out there that really gives lots and lots of hope moving forward, in that what is possible coming out of St. Lucia, and in particular, of course, coming out of our athletes, and our female athletes, we can say. Not too long ago, in fact, there were already some suggestions that we may very well be seeing the potential of St. Lucia in 2028 to be or possibly even putting up a 4x1 or 4x1 relay side, right? And the likes of Asia Lorenzen, Naomi London, Julian Alfred, and J.D. Emmanuel. And in fact, that was already being, brought into being, aspirational desire of Mr. Terry Finister. And he posted that some time ago, back on the 30th of March, indicating St. Lucia's four fastest women. And certainly, J.D. has brought home, again, lots and lots of joy for individuals who were enjoying their Easter weekend. And that certainly brought even more joy over that weekend. So we really want to congratulate her, and of course the entire team over at Carifta. We in fact were able to pick up a few other medals as well, a bronze, I think, as well as silver. And so we'll perhaps try to get in contact with Terry sometime during the week to get a sense of how everything went, and of course to also pay tribute to those who made some really amazing contributions. And it actually was, and there was a point being made, the multiple medalists, sprinter Naomi London, thrower Denzel Phillips, and pole vault record holder Naya Jules. And they headlined the 22-member team for the Carifta Games. In fact, I think, according to what we're being told, that was actually the largest contingent that St. Lucia has ever fielded over at Carifta. And so let's really, really congratulate them for all their efforts, and really hope that we can continue to see some wonderful performances. And there were a lot of St. Lucians out there over there supporting, and that's always good. I know St. Lucians will, we'll make an effort to go to, Dominica Creole Music Festival. There were people who made the effort to go across to Barbados to take in Vibes Cartel. Well, it's always good to also see that there was a good turnout and support for the team and for St. Lucia over at the Hazy Crawford Stadium for the Carifta Games. And we definitely have to keep that hype up and that excitement up for the athletes. They need that support. They need that that motivation. They need to know that there are people out there who are so very proud of what they're doing and their efforts, and to keep them going. So we want to also thank all those who, in fact, went across and who supported the team over there. And, of course, we do have to talk about some other matters, but we're already up to the time when we do have to take in our weather report. So we're going to end our Dish of the Day, and we'll be right back.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test, if unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus, did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gas, and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Groselets, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style. Whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style. Oh, yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We have tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And now, sort of course, 1.1 is now time for your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style, Talamba. Forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing between the northeast and southeast near 7 miles per hour or 11 kilometers per hour, becoming lighter and variable or calm at times. The weather partly cloudy to cloudy skies with a few showers. The forecast for the Les Antilles is partly cloudy to cloudy skies with scattered light to moderate showers over the Windward Islands. Elsewhere, fair to partly cloudy with isolated showers. The weather summary, a trough system will continue to cause cloudiness with showers over the central portion of the Les Antilles during the next 24 hours. Light winds are expected to persist across the Eastern Caribbean over the next few days. This was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style.
set spaces and ground. Everything you need, peace on the house out. For the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to the lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Now, of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, please feel free to do just that. And you can just call in to 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also reach us at 724-0008. The latter, that number is our WhatsApp number. Now, earlier on today, this morning, in fact, we saw the official opening of a new session of Parliament. And, of course, that involved the reading of the throne speech by His Excellency the Governor General. We'll pause that for just a bit so we can take in a call at this time. And we're going to head to the phone lines to do just that. Good afternoon. And welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Hello, good afternoon. Hello? Looks like we may have lost that call, I suspect. But as I was saying, the Governor General delivered the throne speech, and that tends to be a speech that gives some general context to the government's thrust for the upcoming year. Particularly in regard the matter of new legislation. It tends to be a speech that focuses on the legislative agenda of the government heading into a new parliamentary session. And he gave some assurances, which of course no doubt would be pretty important for the country on a whole in the area of healthcare. In fact, indicating that St. Jude Hospital will be completed and commissioned before long, he says. And indicating again that no doubt it's the desire of everyone. And in fact, he said it again, will be completed and commissioned. And of course, I take that to mean within this legislative session. And, of course, he also mentioned the need for expanding bed capacity at the OKEU. And we've been hearing about the challenges with OKEU. You'd recall, originally, it was supposed to have been built with five fingers and would have had somewhere around 150 rooms. And at the time, a decision was taken to sort of cut off a finger. And so it ended up losing some room capacity as a result. I think OK roughly has about 120 rooms, so 30 short of what was originally supposed to have been built. And indication here from the Governor General that that is, in fact, one of the initiatives that the government intends on getting going this year. And as you put it, the construction of the fifth finger of St. Jude Hospital. He also spoke to UHC and the Universal Healthcare rollout, and he gave some detail on that matter. Of course, the matter of crime and safety was also another issue that he made mention of, and the need for social interventions to assist vulnerable groups in the society, as well as the investments within the sector, things like the Groseley Divisional Headquarters for the police force, and new accommodation for the judiciary and for the law courts through the construction of the halls of justice. He did make mention of some of the legislative gaps, and he gave a list of some of the legislation that the government would be seeking to enact. And I'll just quickly go through that. The enactment of legislation for the regulation of cannabis and industrial hemp. And he made mention that is going to be progressing. He also made mention of the enactment of fingerprint laws for St. Lucia and the creation of a bureau to manage those fingerprints and to take responsibility for their preservation. He also made mention of the need for plea bargaining. It's not part of the existing structure of our laws. Of course, we do hear quite a lot about that. You know, if you look at the American system, and quite often, you know, individuals who have gotten themselves into situations, but perhaps could be able to provide additional information, or they may be able to, in fact, assist the state or the crown in perhaps frying a bigger fish. They may enter into some sort of a plea bargain. And so there, the indication there is that there will be, this will be made part of the process for both summary and indictable offenses. He also spoke to the matter of protection for witnesses. And he said that the if it's just quoted, the law of on witness protection will be amended to allow witnesses in criminal proceedings to give evidence in the district court, high court, and or court of appeal in private through video recordings outside of St. Lucia or through an intermediary. And, of course, that move is one which perhaps will find some level of comfort for individuals who have been scarred by violent crime and crime in general. We've, you know, seeing so much of retribution going on, and individuals who want to take revenge, and people, you know, quite often feel the need to, you know, if they feel that individual has outed them, you know, they would want to maybe take some action against the individual. And so, of course, the need for witness protection is being brought forward, and the ability to do so, not even necessarily being on island, of course, so which has been a challenge. Sometimes you'd find that cases would not happen because an individual was not on island, and this might have been the key witness, and all sorts of other issues like that come up within our current system. So the need to address that was being indicated by the Governor General in the throne speech. Also made mention of the matter of unplanned developments on government-owned lands, and making the point that it has not been as effective as it should have been under the PROUD program, the Program for the Rationalization of Unplanned Development. He said, "My government intends to improve the efficacy of regularizing unplanned developments across the country by transitioning the work of PROUD into a body corporate." And effectively, what existed prior was that PROUD was sort of a project unit within a government agency. And in fact, the intention there to actually create, whether perhaps by legislation as a statutory provision, to be able to actually have a distinct entity responsible for dealing with this matter of regularization of unplanned developments. It is certainly a major issue all across St. Lucia, where you find a number of individuals are effectively squatting, and in some instances, if it's on private property, there is some level of well, there are rights that are afforded to persons who may be living on property which they don't necessarily own and have no formal rental or lease arrangements for those properties. And so, of course, we do know that under our laws, you would have to be on a property for over 30 years to be able to possibly claim via subscription for that property. But the same does not exist in the case of properties owned by the Crown. And the Crown is exempt from that. And so it effectively means that individuals who are living on Crown property at the moment never really have any rights to that property and can never have any rights to claim that property, regardless of however long they're living. And it has been a very long-standing matter in this regard, and the government giving indication via the throne speech that they are going to be trying to strengthen the system in place to be able to actually undertake this kind of work. Of course, we also know that we've got lots of issues with family lands and properties where persons have died in intestate without a will, and it becomes very complex because of our inheritance laws. It's perhaps very fair, but it also means by being so fair, you find that, you know, as generations increase and the numbers of individuals increase, you've got lots of people who have shares in sometimes properties that are not very large, and it can become quite a challenge to mutate, to subdivide those properties. So an indication there being given that government is looking to tackle this through the creation of a designated entity which should have some legislative power, legal powers to be able to take action in this regard. You also mentioned the matter of electricity power generation. And he said as follows: in recognition of the changing landscape of electricity power generation, my government will make changes to the existing Electricity Supply Act to limit the exclusive license to the use of fossil fuels only, which St. Lucia Electricity Services Limited currently enjoys for the generation, transmission, transformation, distribution, and supply of electricity to consumers. Under the proposed changes, the National Utilities Regulatory Commission will be responsible for issuing licenses to new players in the sector for the generation, distribution, and supply of electricity from renewable sources. So, of course, that matter has been a long-standing one for the island. And, of course, we've seen how the entire world is moving, in particular the call, as we note Earth Day right now, is the need to be able to cut back on our impact on the environment, in particular what is driving the increase in global temperatures, that of the use of fossil fuels, and which are resulting into increased CO2 emissions, which are having a greenhouse effect on the Earth, which is leading to a hotter planet. And we, of course, are feeling it every single day. And we're seeing it as well in the impacts, whether it's through challenges in our water supply, challenges with, although it's, you know, still not to the point where there's any issues in terms of reliability, but challenges in terms of the demand and the for cooling, which individuals need now, not just in the workplace, but even at in homes. And so we certainly have a significant challenge to meet those crises that we are facing. And we heard earlier on the in that piece where we were speaking about the history for the day, the Paris Climate Agreement was signed on this day back in the year 2015. And that, of course, the whole goal back there 20 years ago was that we would be able to try to aim for 1.5 to stay alive. In other words, cap the increase in global temperatures to on average to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And the data that is coming out right about now from many climate scientists is effectively suggesting that we have already surpassed. We can no longer achieve that in that goal. And of course, it really speaks to the dire situation that the world is facing. And albeit we are perhaps a very small entity, small country in the whole global demand for energy, but we certainly do need to play our part. And we also do need to think about how we can be a lot more resilient as a country in terms of our energy security. As of now, you know, if there's any kind of major global conflict, we see what happens with the global world prices of gas, of fuel. And we are effectively dependent on those external forces, those countries which have, and we've seen how sometimes even in situations where things can get very pressed, if there's a war and you've got supply disruptions, you've got countries wanting to hoard, you know, the same way that we actually had a situation during during COVID-19 where we saw the developed world was hoarding vaccines. They were keeping far more vaccines than they actually needed. And you can well imagine if, in fact, there's any kind of global conflict, and that global conflict may very well lead not just to supply chain disruptions, shipping disruptions, but, in fact, maybe even blockades and destruction of energy infrastructure. We've seen it in the case of Russia and some of the North Sea gas lines being impacted. We've seen it in many places. These disruptions end up causing significant issues. And on top of that, you may very well have a situation where countries begin to hoard their resources. So they just keep it. They'll just say, they're not going to be giving out any more of their oil because they want to be able to ensure that they have it and to be able to have some certainty for their own people. Let's take in a call at this time. And so, of course, we'll welcome this one. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Hello, good afternoon. Caller? Hello? Okay, looks like this caller is having some issues. I'm not sure what if there's an issue with our line. But again, that number is 4523046. Again, 4523046. So certainly, the vagaries of oil production can have very, very serious impacts on us. And you can easily find yourself in a situation where even if you have an existing agreement, you may some countries may simply just not honor it because of new laws being put in place, emergency powers, as we're seeing right now being used by Mr. Trump, even outside of wartime. Let's take in a call at this time as we go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. And welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Hello, good afternoon. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello? Okay, I'm not too sure what's going on with is it the caller? I'm not too sure. Maybe we'll see if we can continue to take in more calls. The number is 4523046. Again, 4523046. So, of course, the move to liberalize the electricity sector is one that has been spoken of for quite some time. And that would effectively mean the desire to encourage investment in non-fossil fuel or renewable energy sources, which would certainly help in our energy resilience. Let's go back to the phone lines at this time. Hopefully we can get this call through. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. And what's on your plate today?
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, caller. How are you doing?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Are you hearing us?
Hello. Are you hearing us? No, I'm not hearing you.
I am not sure why.
I'm not hearing you, Mr. George.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Are you hearing us now? I'm not sure why the caller is not hearing
us.
Yeah,
hello, hello.
You hearing us now?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, yes, I'm hearing you.
All right, okay.
Wonderful. Sorry about that.
How are you doing? Everybody all right?
Very good. Yes, I had a very good weekend. Thank you.
Great entertaining weekend, eh?
It was an amazing weekend, indeed.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yes, a great performance by the athletes. And JD, of course, in particular.
Very promising from the young St. Lucian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it shows you that, you know, we just begin the serious part of the journey to really them youths we have in waiting, you know. In terms of state of yard facilities, you know. Support and coaching and so on.
Very true. Yeah. Very, very true. Very true. It's much needed.
For what we're picking out of bare bones there is so much, you know. Yeah, much less.
And we don't have the state of the art facilities. So.
But that's what I'm saying. Bare bones, you know.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's great, man. Great, man. And that promises a lot and shows that we, you know, it's worth investing in our youth in sports and the power of sports, you know.
Yes, yes. And I love her confidence too. Eh? She was being interviewed, and you know, she said she deserved it. She knew she put in a lot of effort, a lot of work, and she believed that she deserved it. So that's excellent.
Yeah, but you know, also when she was running, you know, the commentators were commenting about how she's moving, like she's well coached, you know, and imagine that some. Only a fourth time she's competing, you know.
Yes, 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 yes,
I mean,
yes.
She's really, really young in that thing, you know.
Very, very much so.
Very, very young, man, and to be so naturally, you know, free and fast.
and to imagine that the amount of I'm sure that her competition has been, you know, training and being drilled, and I mean, it's phenomenal that she can come out and actually become a champion.
She got done, it was good. It was good because they comment on that she's been well trained.
Right, right.
You know, so I mean, it shows that we have good people in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of
development,
out of them.
Yes, and development and the succession planning. That's the other thing we have to think about, because We are a small country, and when you have small countries, sometimes you just have one or two people, and if you just lose that one or two,
we like that kind of thing too much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Still,
so,
you know, we want to choose another one, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take them one by one, maybe.
Mm-hmm,
that's what we allow to, given our facilities and so on. Anyway, another thing is it's amazing how far the women, the ladies have gotten, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in athletics, and we're not seeing the men emerging as yet.
Not as yet, not as yet, you know, not as yet.
I don't know, because we really have some work to do with our young men, eh?
Yes, indeed.
To motivate them and so on.
It's quickly,
Mr. George.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what were you talking about, liberalization of what?
Oh, I was sharing some of the notes coming out of the throne speech, and there was a mention about the Electricity Supply Act being the intention to amend it this year. So that I was just actually sharing.
To liberalize the environment for
so as for to allow people? For independent power producers to enter the market.
Let me tell you, these things were ingrained from the time your father was there, you know.
I know, Paula.
Your Kyoto King Convention, all these things signed up that by 2020 would be 15%.
We definitely, exactly. We definitely have
not.
We have not. Yes.
Well, you say, what's new, Garlic?
Yep.
What's where is the commitment henceforth coming if it wasn't there in all these years, you know? The other things just seem to be taking precedence. Current things that coming up that you have to deal with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That just, these things end up by the wayside, and then
mm-hmm.
we come up with a next generation, perhaps to the younger generation, who are not even aware that these things happened 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They feel to themselves it's something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
it impacts
it's not
so many.
Their fault. They think right. it's something new they own too.
Yeah.
But I mean, the literature is there. Everything is there, you know.
Yeah. And it impacts
everything. You could talk to your father if you don't.
I know. I'm aware, very much aware. And it impacts everything. You know, we sometimes think, well, you know, it's electricity, so it's. When you look at the cost of food, right, especially meats, right, for example, I mean, I know you may not be a meat man, but anything that has to be refrigerated, you know, that's a cost, right? The companies that the wholesalers that have to store those meats or what, that's a significant cost that they have to do because they're
absolutely
holding that product for some time, right?
Yeah.
And so therefore, when you look at the price of items. We sometimes want to compare, well, why is it so much cheaper in the U.S. versus, you know, here in St. Lucia or elsewhere? Yeah, it's part of it is the cost of electricity as well.
Electricity, everything, man, everything.
Yeah.
Even when things we produce, you always talk about import substitution.
Yes, exactly.
And all these sort of things.
Exactly.
It's not just economically viable at the end of the day because of the prohibitive cost
mm-hmm.
of electricity.
Yeah, because I mean, even
competitive, you cannot even, you know.
Even we have a, you know, we're surrounded by water, and you would think that okay, well, maybe we have an easy source of protein, in the case of fish,
exactly.
Right? But the fish is seasonal. The fish is, you know, it comes and goes, you
yeah,
know,
you
and
have to, you have
you've got to store.
It.
You've got to refrigerate it. So
yeah, you have to refrigerate it. By all means.
So those costs impact our food security, as well.
That's why Europe and these countries have food security until God knows when, 2050. You know what? Because of that capacity.
Yes.
They have food stored down and frozen. So anytime, you know,
yes.
They're ready for it, you know.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
That's what, you know, and lastly, my brother, you think somebody should be judged in context of the institution they represent or as an individual?
In the context of the individual, well, it depends on what you want to look at. I mean, if you're looking at the person from a personal perspective.
Because the reason why I say that, Calix, is
yes.
that it mightn't be too difficult to when you look the role of the Catholic Church and Vatican over the years to
mm-hmm.
Not have kind things to say about them, and they might be deserving of that,
mm-hmm.
given the history. All right, you mm-hmm. with that?
Yes, yes.
But I mean, the Pope himself now, we cannot say, well, all right, he represents that organization, he was the headman for that organization, then he must have been, you know,
mm-hmm.
entangled with that kind of philosophy
mm-hmm.
or theology.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way you want to put it,
right?
But I'm seen as an individual. He did some things, man. I mean, that were really remarkable. He challenged Europe and America, you know, especially on the policy of immigration. You know.
Yes, he did. He
seriously,
did.
And they didn't take too kindly to that, you know.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, because yeah, he told them that that's not. It's like not to welcome
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
strangers, you know, you have to be hospitable, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
you understand?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He told them that, you know, and also his tolerance to diversity.
Yes, yes.
You know. And
especially with the whole issue of the LGBT.
Exactly.
You know,
and not
situation.
Only that, you know.
I think in terms of even divorcees, before you, if you were divorced, you wouldn't be able to
all that
accept
not even
communion.
That.
And
you talk about tolerance for. He was the one that engaged Muslim the most in history, you know.
Mm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
The Muslim, other religions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why the Hindus, they all have nothing really bad to say about him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he did some things that, you know, are really commendable. And, you know.
And, of course, he was humble enough to apologize on behalf of the church for
a lot of
the wrongs, especially with the matter, the all these sexual abuse matters.
Even though a lot of his own people, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of his own people in that Vatican, they were not in thinking with what he was doing, you know.
Yeah, and they said that, he was quite anti-clerical about the institution.
Yeah, gone.
Well, let's see who takes his place and whether that individual is going to also be so keen to continue the reform and to continue
the reform and reach out
and the embracing of individuals.
Embracing, you know.
Because it's unfortunate that religion is still so divisive in the world.
Exactly.
You know. And
exactly. We haven't reached the level where we as people could accept unity. You know. Diversity,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and tolerance, you know, to what others, beliefs and so on.
Yeah, and
this is what ideally we're searching for.
Right,
You know, then alone we'd realize, well, how many common things we have, things in common, which is the things that we need, problems
mm-hmm.
that we need to go at, because mm-hmm. we accept. You know, we don't reject people's thing because of their religion and so on and so forth. It wouldn't work to solve all the climate change, crime and war and all. It will not. It will, unless we have that tolerance, Kalik, to each other's way of life. You know, I'm sorry.
And respect for human beings. And respect
for
the you know. Yes.
And the dignity.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Very important. Thanks very much for pointing that out, caller. Very much appreciated. All the best. And, of course, we're already over time, so we're going to have to put a pause on our dialogue for today. Hopefully, we can continue tomorrow. In fact, this evening at 5 o'clock, the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, he is going to be presenting his fourth budget for his term. And that'll be happening at 5 o'clock. No doubt we will be trying to tune in to hear what is being put forward. Of course, the government's economic policies will be spelled out and what measures, no doubt, he will be looking at taking. Of course, there are a number of issues out there that are very topical. And certainly there'll be no doubt lots to be to hear, hopefully, on the entire matter of this upcoming budget presentation. So that happens at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, tomorrow we'll be back same time, and hopefully we can do some analysis of that. Thanks for listening, and have a great one.